This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Thursday evening service of December the 28th, 1989. Ray McCullough is the speaker of the evening at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Midwinter Camp Meeting.
A husband's not better than the wife. Paul goes on to say, it's just God made the man first. Why, Brother Ray? Ask God. I don't know. He could have made them both at the same time, but he didn't. And when you fight God's order, a restoration has to take place before you're going to see the government and the kingdom, whether it's in the home or in the church. You know, there's so many ways I could go. I mourn and pray to see this fathering revival. I know I have to see it before I see him. What did Elisha cry when Elijah was taken away? What? My prophet, my prophet?
No.
My pastor, my pastor? My guru, my guru? He said, my father, my father. The horseman of Israel, the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. He said, man, that's what makes this thing run. He had been with Elijah long enough to know it's that father birthing spirit that was on the man's ministry. That's what separated him. And when he was taken away, that's what Elisha was mourning. That's what I mourn tonight. Oh, my father, my father. Home and church, God restore. And God make me a preacher that can be a part of the Elijah company.
Amen.
That will, when I preach, the hearts of the men of God will burn to be men, to be dads, to be ministers, to stand up and be a man. Not Clint Eastwood. Biblical manhood is tenderness, but it's strength. What do fathers do? I've just got four things here. I don't even know if God's going to anoint this or not. This may not be the way he wants to go, but let me give them quickly to you. To provide. You see, about a blackboard, I'd put Christ over the home and the church. And over here in the left column under Christ, I would put Father. And on the line, on the church side, I'd put pastor, apostle, father, minister. Under father, I'd put on this side, mother. And over here under pastor or whatever, I would put elder body. Deacons, elders, elder body. Because I really understand the elder body to function in the church as the mother does in the home. That'll preach all day long. Then under mother over here on the left, I would put children. And over here under elder body in the church side, I'd put congregation. And I don't care if you call him pastor or prophet or apostle, there has to be a head. You say, well, we have 10 elders, they're all equal. There better be one more equal than others. They've tried that other. It doesn't work. It's a freak. It's a freak. Somebody. You say, well, but you should listen to your elders. That's right, but somebody has to make the final okay or no or veto it or pass it or whatever. Somebody. And that's what God says. That's Father. Okay, number one, to provide. You know what's wrong in the church today? There's no meat in the house of God. You become the church, they get nothing. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, I have been there. You know, it's rough. You get all dressed up. You go to church. I mean, as hard as it is to get a family to church. And then you go there and there is nothing to eat. And it's just as out of order in the house of God as if a child goes home after school and his old lazy daddy has not gone out and worked and brought home the bacon. Because to provide is my understanding of the number one father ministry. A provider. He's a feeder. He's not a feeder. He's not a father. He may be bringing forth biological children, but he's not fulfilling the ministry. To protect, number two, to protect. When a child is hurt, it goes to mama. That's why I say in the church, when people are hurt, there ought to be elders and deacons and counselors and people to do that and stop bothering the pastor all the time because he's supposed to be off in the prayer closet hearing from God.
Amen.
Where's the body ministry? See, that's where the mother ministry in the church needs to come in.
Hallelujah.
You've got God's men, they say, well, he doesn't ever feed me. How could he? He's always holding your hand. I got a whole series on offenses. We got 500 members at our church, and I've been teaching them for a year. The reason we still got 500 is because I've taught them, you can't be offended. God's looking for some unoffendable Christians. I'll tell you, this bunch we got, you talk about soft, kooky, weird men and women. Oh, I didn't like that. Pastor didn't speak to me. I'm going home. But go on. I tell you, we just don't go on. I tell you, if you're that easily touched, you won't last at Bethel Chapel anyway. You say, well, that's strong. I raised my children that way. I said, look, I'm in charge. Now, the day you think I'm not, bye. It works. I mean, it works. Oh, I couldn't do that. You say, I wouldn't do it. Because you couldn't do it. Because your child runs home. The children run the home today. Everything's for the children. We buy a home so that we'll be close to their school. We buy a big old station wagon that gets 4 miles to the gallon because we need a big car for their ice skating, hockey lessons, all this other stuff. Everything's for the children. Oh, honey, how many of you believe I've got a series on this? Number three, to role model or to disciple. I want to tell you something. God has got to have a company who one day will stand up and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And be able to stand the scrutiny of his own people. 15 years ago, I was in Assembly of God Sunday School, and Larry Tedder, you know Larry, raised a beautiful family. Sent all his kids to ORU, beautiful Christian family. One day he was teaching a Sunday School. He was having question and answer time. I said, Larry, how do you be a dad? He said, I'll tell you one thing. This will help. He said, go home and tell your kids, follow me. Follow me. Imitate me. Do what I do. Say what I say. Go where I go. Act like I act. He said, tell them this. If you hear me say it, you can say it. If you see me go there, you can go there. If you see me watch it on TV, it's okay for you to watch it. If I'm reading it, you may read it. If I smoke it, you can smoke it. Now, this is tight, but it's right. God's got to have some father ministry that'll go home and tell their kids that. And he's got to have some pastors and apostles and prophets that'll say, follow me as I follow Christ. And who live the same way in private they do in public, because who you are and what you do when you're alone is who you really are. When you're alone in that bathroom, that's who you really are. When you're out of town or on in the airport and nobody's around that knows you, that's who you really are. What you do when you're alone, honey, is who you are. And it's high time somebody stood in the pulpits of our land and told God's men, that's what God expects. You say, well, you got a big dose of yourself, don't you? I'm just a nobody who answered the challenge of God. And I have failed many times, but the standard hasn't. What I'm telling you is right. And if you read next year, I fell, it's still right. And you don't follow me if I fall. You follow me as I follow him. And then fourthly, to discipline. Ultimately, discipline falls with the father or the pastor. And boy, we have none of that in the church. Well, I'll tell you what, I answered God's challenge there. We have it at Bethel. I wouldn't put up with one third of the craziness. You can't get decent, rational people in most full gospel churches because they're so sick and tired of the flesh displays passed off as the spirit. Because nobody ever corrects anything. Well, you know, he was hearing from God. Why? He was so in the flesh, disgusted everybody in the church. I'm tired of people bringing visitors to my church, and then they come in there and some goofball jumps up that I've never seen before. Never has been in our church, not in covenant relationship, jumps up and begins to prophesy. And here I'm sitting up there as the pastor, all of my godly elders working in divine order. They can't hear from God, see. The deacons can't hear from God. The care leaders can't hear from God. We got 500 members. Nobody hears from God. God's going to send in this prophet from off the street. And he's going to stand up. And let me tell you something, dear ones. When somebody stands up in your church and says, "Thus saith the Lord," they have just taken over the meeting. Because there's no higher authority, honey. My God, I didn't mean to get this worked up, but... Oh, dear God, give us some churches in order. It's disgusting what passes for the Spirit in most, quote, full gospel, unquote, churches. That's why they're going back to the denominational churches in droves. Oh, they are. Because at least you've got a little sanity. I know they throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we just let anything go in the name of the Spirit. And there's no discernment. And nobody ever corrects anything. Where's Father? Where's Father? You want a picture of the church? Just go to the mall and watch the way the world deals with their kids. I tell you, they can stick their ice cream cone right through a $250 suit while they're trying it on. And mother will say, "Now, honey, you shouldn't have done that," when he should have warmed his bottom. Is this too strong? What's the enemy? I've got to get out of here. What's the enemy? Because I want to tell you something. This ministry has an enemy. This ministry has an enemy. Who was the number one enemy of the ministry of Elijah? Jezebel, who hated the male authority figure and hated the prophetic mantle that was on the prophets of God and destroyed them and got her own prophets. Elijah had his Jezebel. And then later, who fulfilled the first fulfillment? John the Baptist. He had an enemy. Who was she? Herodias. Alias Jezebel. Because Herod played Ahab to Herodias' Jezebel. It's the same picture. Out of order. A man with a wimp spirit and a woman out of order. And just like Jezebel went after John the Baptist. Jezebel went after Elijah. Herodias went after John the Baptist. And when she got him, what'd she cut off? Honey, she didn't want his feet. She didn't want his hands. She didn't want him crucified. She wanted his head. That's your authority. She went for the head. Several years ago, I got some stuff on the Jezebel spirit. Different things I started filtering down. And it was very interesting to read. But answer me this, you who've been around a few years. Did you hear very much, if anything, about Jezebel 20 years ago? I say one of the greatest signs that we're about to see the Elijah ministry is the fact that we're already beginning to get a revelation about the Jezebel ministry. And in both cases, her ministry came before his. When he shows up, when Elijah shows up, Jezebel's already there. When John shows up, Herodias is already there. And I say there's a Jezebel ministry being set in place in the sovereign plan of God to resist what I'm telling you is going to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. He said, "Well, I know who this guy is. He doesn't like women." You're a liar. We've ordained women. I believe women can do anything a man can do, except govern without any authority. I don't believe in that. Isaiah 3:12 says, "As for my people," this is when they were rebellious, "children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." O my people, they which lead thee. See, they're in leadership, out of order. Children oppressing, women leading, ruling. Not leading, ruling. He says, they lead thee and cause thee to err and destroy the way of the paths. And just like you'll know Elijah's ministry by its fruit, you'll know the ministry of this woman. She'll dominate any man with an Ahab spirit. She hates the masculine representation of the priesthood, hates the prophetic ministry. But she'll counterfeit it and always seeks to murder the priests of God. Now, I told you I wasn't long-winded, so I'm going to quit. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. There's another man that I believe we're going to see in spirit. A man named Jehu. 2 Kings 9. And I won't look there, but if you want a real good, bloody, violent, R-rated story, I love it. How many of you know our church is full of young people? You know why? I can hold their attention. Because I just preach the Bible. The Bible's full of violence and blood, so they think they're at home watching TV. They love to come to church. When I preached this, I said, y'all come tonight? I've got an R-rated story. I mean, this guy gets the anointing to pull down Jezebel. He is anointed to pull that thing down. And what I like about him, when he was on the way to do his errand, they looked out and they saw him coming to Jezebel's palace to get her. And they said, must be Jehu, for he driveth furiously. At last I found a scripture to justify the way I drive my chariot. I drive furiously. That's how I lead people to the Lord. I take them for a ride. Just a few minutes, they're grasping the dashboard, crying out for Jesus. And they said, he driveth furiously. He was an intense man. And interesting thing about him, he was not a good man. Which tells me, you can have a lot of faults and still do a work for God. And what I'm trying to get to is the comment that our dear brother made about the eunuchs. Because Jesus said, there are some men who are born eunuchs. There are some who are made eunuchs of men. Speaking of how they emasculated the men to put them into the harems. He said, but there are some who make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is divine order and government. It is method instead of madness. It is order instead of chaos. And when Jehu pulls up into the courtyard, who runs to the window? The eunuchs. And here comes Jezebel. And I know the commentators say this wasn't so, but I just think they're lying. Here is a woman who got anything she wanted by manipulating men. And it says she attired herself. She made herself very beautiful and went to the window. Trying to obviously win Jehu's favor. But here was a man who looked up and he said, who's on the Lord's side? And those eunuchs took a look at her and said, has no appeal to me. And kicked her raw fanny out of the window, and she hit the ground, and the chariots ran over, and there was nothing but blood and skulls and hands, and oh, it was a mess. Torah basinda, hallelujah. I want to know where there's some men who say, I'm going to stop toying around with this Playboy magazines. I'm going to stop fooling around and with every little woman that comes in and looking her over And I'm gonna just get over once and for all this sexual demon. And bless God, for the sake of the kingdom and the spirit, I'll make myself a eunuch. Because that's what it's gonna take to break the chains of manipulation that have been rousted on us by this kind of spirit. I tell you, I just do not. I'm getting to the place where I get angry about God's, quote, men, unquote, who won't be men and stop acting like little boys in puberty, always experimenting. It's death, men. D-E-A-T-H, death. God intended it for you and your wife, and that's it. Say, I'm not married. Then it's out for you. Forget it. Forget it. Well, I don't have the gift. Then you better ask God to give you a mate. Well, after that mantle fell on Elisha, and he went out, and he struck the water because he was being ridiculed. He says, where is the God of Elijah? But today, I say to you, where are the Elijahs of God? I know where the God of Elijah is. He sits in the heavens and laughs at his enemies. He hasn't moved. But where are the Elijahs of God? When I see them, I'll know them. Because their message will have an impact. Wherever they go, it'll shake men and women to get into order. It'll cause people to humble themselves before God and ask Him to forgive them for trying to live life as they fashion it. And church people to stop trying to get the church like they want it and function in it like God designed it to work. And a ministry, when I see it, that will cause men to be men, women to be women, and have fun doing it. And it will cause people who hear to fall on their face and say, God, your word says, I set every member in the body as pleases me. And I reject the damnable public relations phrase that Madison Avenue has been selling us for 25, 30 years. This Sunday, attend the church of your choice. No. This Sunday, attend the church of His choice. And let Him set you in the body. And get accountable. Become accountable. Stop being like those little silver balls rolling around in the little puzzle. That's a picture of the charismania movement. I warn you, in the 90s, find your spot and get in it. The devil's going to start picking off the Lone Rangers. I've heard it once, I've heard it twice. The day of the superstar is over. All that is saying is another way of saying, get into order, because that was never God's best. When are we going to learn that a lot of things God breathed on and really blessed in the past 20 years were only out of His mercy and grace because there was not any sufficient support, New Testament support system in existence? 20 years ago, honey, the hottest game in town was the full gospel businessman. That was all you had. He said, well, I'd go to a good church if there was one. Well, then move to Nashville. You don't have to. They're coming up all over. How long has it been since you really looked? Are you just enjoying sucking on your bottle and saying, well, there's really nothing out there worthy of my support? God's on the move. A fathering revival. If there's any fire at all in you men tonight, I want you to lift your right hand up in the air. If there's any fire, if you felt tonight in what I've said, any at all, if you haven't, keep your hand down. I don't want you to lift it. I don't want you to make a liar out of me and of God. Now, Lord, you see these hands, and it's for you. to confirm your word. Not for me. I'm just presuming to even say I'm your errand boy. Almighty God, who is flesh, to even presume to bring the word of the Lord. But I say, if it is the word of the Lord, here comes the fire, boys. Are you a pastor?
Yes.
Brother, get ready. Put them both up. Warfare. Talk about warfare. What are you going to sin? Because they're little children. You better find some warriors. Shindola masakadi sata. Ura masondola maranda. Ura basotora matashita. Now, Lord, confirm your word. Let the signs come forth from this day forward. Let there be a holy, reverential awe for divine order. Let there be a courage struck by fire into the hearts of your men to take their place, O God, to feed and to provide. Yes, Lord, to protect and guard, to be role models, and then to discipline where it's needed in whatever sphere of influence you operate in. And now let me see the hands of the ladies who would say, oh, I say amen. Lift them up. See, it's always interesting. It's always almost unanimously. It's just something about women. They're so intuitive. They're so beautifully developed in that solical realm. It's just Jesus never had to even go after the ladies. They just came. That's why there were so many in the early move. You know, they just came. Father, behold your handmaidens. Women who know they're equal, but not the same. And I loose them, Lord, to operate in their ministry. Fivefold ministry, teaching ministry, pulpit ministry, public ministry, or just private ministry. But I loose them and release them, Lord. And by the uplifted hand, I ask you, a recording angel, just to record everyone and let it be a sign and token that they are dedicated from this day forward to promote the government of God and the kingdom in home and church. To support the men of God as they find them, whether it's husband or pastor, prophet or evangelist, deacon, care leader. Oh God, here's a room full of people who stretched forth their hands, oh Lord, and vote for your government, for your kingdom. And no longer will we settle for anything less. And I rebuke that wimp spirit that tries to attach itself and lying, deceiving things. Well, we're in a new age now and things are different. No, the principles have never changed. They're the same, given to us by the unchanging God. And in Jesus' holy name, we pledge ourselves to flow with you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Pastor, you're a man of you're hearing a word, excellence. Well, you're right on. It's time. And God just wants right now, I just feel Father's pleasure about your ministry. The stamp of His approval is upon you. And the manifestation in the 90s will be staggering. Don't alter your course. Don't waver. Don't pull back. And the Lord is even telling me personally, if you ever begin to waver and doubt a direction, the Lord says, I'm to make myself available. You call me, I'll counsel with you. Because you're so right on. And the Lord's going to confirm that with numbers, quality numbers. Shibatikas, and I'll seal that in Jesus' name. And what a helpmate you have. What a supporter. What a discerner. Let your antenna stay up, O woman of God. Speak to this man. He will hear your counsel. Yea, even more so from this day forward. For the Lord Himself will include you, and He will begin to use you to fill in the empty spots. I see it like this in the Spirit. It's like where there's a hand like this, you know, one hand. Well, I see you just coming in there and filling in the spots. Hallelujah. With discernment and great wisdom. And together, you're a team for the Lord. Praise God. You're a new breed. See, kindred spirit, we're a new breed. There's prophetic pastors coming. I'm telling you, I'm not saying prophets necessarily. I'm just saying prophetic pastors. They will speak with the anointing of God. They will be like the men of Issachar. They will know what Israel ought to do. They will be able to see and know. For God will catch them up out of the forest, out from among the trees, so to speak, so they can see the trees. And that's what, to me, prophetic is going to, we're going to see. It's more than prophecy. It's just seeing things. Seeing clearly when no one else can. Being able to see the hand of God when others only see defeat or confusion. The maturity. The maturity is coming. Jamie Buckingham said, whom the Lord loves, He beats the hell out of. I wish I'd have said that first. God will pull you through if you can stand the pull. This candy-coated stuff's got to go. That's not real Christianity. I'm telling you, this thing is rugged. Honey, it's sweat and blood and guts, and it's real. This cotton candy, bless me stuff, and these wimpy... I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to take up your plea. I saw that. Gag me with a spoon. You think the devil's running from that? He's going, boy, I can't wait for you to quit singing. This thing is so real. It'll crawl down in your gut and it won't let you go. And if it's not doing that, you don't have the right life source. You're not plugged in. You got to plug in, man, where there's life. And wake up. That is the issue. Not your job, not where you live. That's the issue. Now, don't go moving across the country just to get to... There's places God's raising up. But stop sitting around like the church. So many are saying, well, there's just no place. That's a lie. That's a lie. He's raising up hundreds, and there's more to come. 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 Praise God. I love the local church. That's where reality, that's where you find out whether you got the goods or not. You can't just, I can preach here and leave. But when it's local church, then you got to preach and live with the results, good or bad. And make no mistake about it, it takes a while. But after 5 years' time, you can go to any local church. I can go to any local church, and if it's been there 5 years or longer, and I don't even have to see the leaders, I can just look at the people. Paul said, ye are our epistle, written not on tablets, but on fleshy tables of the heart. People lie about me. They say ugly things about me. It used to upset me. Sometimes people are so concerned about what I think about what they said. I could care less. It used to upset me. Now I say, come and see. Come and see. Come to church. Forget about what you look out there. There's 5 years of fruit. I'm so proud of them. Not in an ungodly way. I'm just proud God's confirmed His word. They're unoffendable. They're an army of dead men. Got a long way to go, dear, but oh dear God, it's so good to be home. And if I snap at them or get in the flesh, let my flesh show, preach a doctrine cuts right across something they've been taught all their life, you know what they do? Just keep on loving me. You just can't run them off. Shibaba kandolabasa. That's what God wants. An army of won't quit.
Amen.
Well, bless you. In Jesus' Amen. Name. Hallelujah. I'm done, brother. Come rescue me. Somebody. Hallelujah. Who's got the anointing? Somebody get me out of here. I'm hot to trot. I love you. Thanks for having me. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us in to the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Handalabosi karabaryandalabosai. For you will look unto me, for I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Therefore, yea, the stability of the Father shall be upon you. And I shall bring it forth, saith thy God, for the anointing, yea, shall go before you, and you shall feel the quickening and the drawing of my peace. Yea, see the fire, and know that my anointing is with thee. For thou shalt see the baptism of fire throughout the land. Yea, it is the hand of the Lord. And I have raised it up as Abraham lifted up, yea, his arm. And I brought Israel out with a high arm. My people shall have an high arm in this day. For the anointing of my peace is upon thee. And the fire of the Lord shall bring it forth. And yea, I will speak to thy children as the authority of the Father image comes forth. Yea, you'll see the children flow in the purity of the prophetic word. My children shall say, thus saith the Lord, and the babes shall come forth, and the anointing of my truth shall bring it to pass. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise, and I have ordained strength. For this is the hour my people shall have command over the sea and over the air and over the land. This is the visitation upon the Son of Man, and my glory is within thee, and thou shalt see it flourish, because this message, yea, is released throughout the body, saith the Lord. Let's praise Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We certainly sat at the feet of revelation, of ministry, Jesus. The things that God has proclaimed to us, we commend our brother. Amen. We release that anointing upon him. You'll see that I have already accomplished the 5 years. Is the number of my grace. For yea, the 5 levels of Jerusalem I have attained. Acra, Bezeth, and Moriah, Ophel, and Zion. And I will lift thee up, my son, that thou shalt see, and my people shall know the key of David. And the restoration of the tabernacle of David shall be upon thee, and thou shalt be, as it were, a great pilot light, that others may see the pattern, because, yea, you've looked into this one, you've looked into that operation, and this church, and that ministry, and I've showed you the good, and yet the anointing of the Lord shall perfect it, and you'll see the pattern that I've given thee shall spread throughout the earth, and my peace shall be upon thee, and thou shalt see it. And the next 5, the graciousness of the Lord, you shall see. Others shall know that as you go forth in me, the printing material that I will release within you, there shall be a fresh literature upon the body of thy God. Amen. That means the Spirit of God is going to give us fresh literature, amen, of what he's doing in our day. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Shall we stand? Let's sing it again. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. Just turn to somebody and begin to shake their hand as we continue. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He brought us out to bring us into the promised land.
Together, all hail Jesus, amen. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord.
Website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.